Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been giving a series of messages on the subject, the spiritual sacrifices we offer to God. This is the last of these messages in this series, and I have a reason for wanting to share this with you as the very last of this series. And this message has to do with using the correct approach to God. Using the correct approach to God. In the Old Testament, the subject of sacrifices was a very important and a vital subject. God Himself had commanded the people of Israel they were to offer sacrifices. There was never a time in their history when these blood sacrifices were not important to God, and also, of course, the other offerings they were to bring. But the primary offering they were to bring to God was a blood sacrifice. They were to bring this sacrifice to God. It was to be a perfect sacrifice. They were to select from their animals one that was not maimed or in any way imperfect. And they were to bring this to the proper place, and they were to offer this sacrifice to God. During the space of a year, they would be offering many sacrifices to God, most of them blood sacrifices. And the problem came, as we have pointed out, when these blood sacrifices became a substitute for heart sacrifices to God. So it was important that they offer these sacrifices, because these sacrifices were a picture of the coming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, His blood sacrifice for us. How wonderful this sacrifice was. But none of these sacrifices, and even this reminder, was to be a substitute for the things in their hearts God also wanted them to offer to God. And so in this series, we've talked about obedience, we've talked about thanksgiving, we've talked about brokenness, and many other sacrifices that we're to offer to God. Each of these has been very, very important. And now I want us to turn our attention back to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. We are not sure if Adam and Eve ever offered blood sacrifices to God. The first blood sacrifices that's mentioned as a blood sacrifice was the offering of Abel that he made to God in Genesis chapter 4. And I want to read verses 2 down to verse 6. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to God. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he did not have respect. And Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art you wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? I want to stop our reading right there. Now here are two men. We assume, when they brought offerings to God, that both of them were very, very sincere. We don't doubt the sincerity of Cain when he brought an offering to God. He brought an offering, apparently, of the grain of his field. Later in Israel, grain offerings were going to be important to God. They would, at various seasons during the year, bring grain offerings to God. So he brought some of the fruit of his field. But Cain and Abel brought different kinds of offerings, because Abel brought a blood offering to God. And in our opinion, as we look at this passage, before we come down to God's rejection, it appears that both of these men were very sincere. Both of them brought offerings to God. Both of them brought offerings which cost them something. In other words, Cain took some of the offering from his field, offerings he needed, in fact, to eat himself, or perhaps to sell to somebody else, or to give to somebody else. And so we don't doubt his sincerity. The problem was, he was not using a correct approach to God. God was demanding and looking for something else. And that was that he was looking for a heart that was conscious of sin, and that was offering a blood offering to him. an offering which would be a picture of the coming offering of the Savior himself. It was to be a blood offering that would be offered for sin. It was not just to be a grain offering which would be offered for praise and thanksgiving and other purposes to God, but it was to be a blood offering because sin was very important to God. God hated sin. Sin was important to him because sin was to be repented of, it was to be offered for, and it was to be forsaken. And apparently this was not Cain's attitude. It was not his approach to God. He simply was coming before God, offering some of the fruit of his field. We don't doubt his motives in doing it, but he was offering the wrong sacrifice. Now, in our hearts today, we do not offer blood sacrifices anymore. Jesus, in fact, according to the book of Hebrews, if you were to study Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, Jesus is the one offering for sin. He is the one last offering for sin. There will never again be a blood sacrifice of any kind because Jesus was that blood sacrifice. His blood sacrifice was an eternal sacrifice. It was a blood sacrifice sufficient for the sins of the entire world, for billions and billions of people who have lived, who are living, and who will live if the Lord Jesus tarries his coming, who will live until his coming. So the sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient. But even still, our approach to God is to be pleasing to God. We need to be absolutely pleasing to God in the way we approach him and what we offer to God in our lives. For instance, we may offer our sacrifices from the heart to God in pride. In other words, feel very self-righteous. I am more righteous than anyone else. I had a very dear friend in college. He was a very spiritual man. I don't purposely want to mention his name because I would never say anything publicly against him. He was a very, very spiritual man. Some of you know the story of his life, but I'll not mention who he is. But nevertheless, he was a very spiritual man. He was a very dear friend of mine, in fact. But this man later confessed that in the first 2 years of his college, he would not attend any football games. He would not attend any basketball games. He would not attend any sports activities. He would not attend any of the other activities on the campus because he believed they were very unspiritual and that anyone who went to these games, in fact, was very unspiritual. It was an unspiritual activity, and he was too good for this. He later confessed this, and confessed this to God, and confessed this to others. His wife writes about this in some of her books when she tells about his life. She writes about these early years of his life. And the thing that struck me about this man's life was that this man was sincere in trying to walk before God. So his idea was, rather than going to basketball games, I will simply read the Bible more. I will simply pray more. But this led him, as he later confessed, to feel very self-righteous. In other words, I'm better than the other students on the campus. Later he realized he had cut himself off from any example, any influence, any testimony to the other students on the campus, simply because he took this standoffish appearance before them. They got the idea that he felt he was more righteous than they were. He was better than they were. So this is a wrong approach to God. We're not approaching God in offering ourselves, in offering our obedience, our thanksgiving, our brokenness, our other things to God. We're not approaching God from a sense of pride. In other words, I'm better than anybody else. We are to offer ourselves to God. We're to offer our offerings spiritually to God with a humble, with a broken spirit, that we're not better than anybody else. Rather, we come to God as sinners saved by the grace of God. We come to God as people who are owned by the Lord Jesus, who have no right to own ourselves, to use our lives and our bodies in the way we want to use them. We come to God with an attitude of humble submission, therefore, to God. We also come to God with an attitude of servanthood. We're going to be talking about this in another series of messages. We come to the God with the attitude that I'm not better than other people, and that as God knows our hearts, we acknowledge our needs before God. No matter how advanced we might be in our Christian lives, we acknowledge our deep needs before God. And so we can see in Israel how Israel sinned against God. By coming to God with a wrong approach, we can see how Cain and Abel sinned against God, especially Cain. Abel approached God in the right way. He came with a blood sacrifice, but in Cain's case, he came in the wrong way. He came with a heart that was apparently sincere, but he substituted the thing that God wanted for something that he chose to offer to God, even though it cost him something. It was a wrong approach to God. So we need to do things exactly as God wants us to do them. We approach him in the right way. We approach him with the right attitude, with the right feelings of heart. And we come to God and we're accepted by God because we approach him in the right way. And so this would be my prayer for each of you, that as we come before God, we come to him with this humble, broken attitude, sinners again, saved by grace, and as people who are undeserving. We never will be deserving. No works of ours are ever acceptable as a means of salvation. We have it only through the Lord Jesus. And what we offer now to God, we offer as our humble sacrifice to him, our heart's sacrifice to him. So I pray that as you approach God, you will put aside all pride, all arrogance, all feelings of superiority over others, and you will simply serve before God in ways that are pleasing to him. So God accepted Abel. He accepted Enoch because Enoch walked with God. And he accepts us because we approach him in the right way. May God bless you and help you to take this right approach before God.